when I was really just documenting that one planet, like Jacques Cousteau-ing this one planet,
yeah,
and being like, I know everything. I mean, I've done
this
that.
This thing actually connects.
Definitely been planets I've spent like check, multiple hours on doing, you know, various documentations and just kind of looking for stuff and just putting my, you know, putting names on things. And
there it is.
I think that, you know, the thing, like, I had the most fun when I didn't have a set goal in mind as far as like how long I wanted to spend in a place.
Yeah.
Like I would go to a planet and if I went there and it's like minimal animal life and not a whole lot to see or not a whole lot to mine, like I had no problem leaving there 20 minutes after I got there. You know, that's fine. I think that is like that is kind of the thing that's left up to the player in that game. It's like how long do you want to spend it? Like there's no, you can go to the center, but like that's just a place you go because the developers of that game felt like there needed to be a place to go.
And like I get that. It's like an existential thing of like I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
like,
if there's no here. It's the same thing with that Atlas path. Like that Atlas thing clearly exists to give someone some kind of like, you know, story cohesiveness that like puts you in a direction, but it's kind of worthless because it's like it just doesn't really tell you much of a story, and it's really only there just to handhold you to a point. And then, you know, once it finally concludes with what it does, it's not like anything really special happens. Like, it tells you something special happens, but you don't feel it. You don't get anything out of it. So for me, it's like, the joy of that game is completely untethered from any of the structural stuff that the developers actually try to put you on.
It's just the fun that you kind of made yourself.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just about being able to put that tiny little stamp of my own on this vast, basically unknowable thing. Yeah. Like, no one, I don't think any, like, the whole of that player base will ever see every single planet, every single, you know,
impossible.
Yeah, it's basically impossible. So, you know, the idea that that stuff is kind of, you know, that's your path, that's what you've seen, that's what you've done, like, that's what appeals to me about it. And the idea that no one else may ever see it again, like, even though it's, again, using the same stuff over and over and over again, it doesn't matter, because that's a corner that I saw that maybe no one else will ever see again.
Okay, I've got a pitch.
Okay.
It's gonna have the magic of the exploration of Destiny, but with a defined end goal. It's a co-op Lewis and Clark game.
Uh-huh.
You start on the East Coast, you gotta go to the West Coast, and map out everything in between. You can get lost from each other. You have to survive. There's fucking bears and stuff. You gotta cross rivers.
Can I craft?
Yeah.
Of course.
You put a rock and a stick together.
How do you map stuff?
It's like an Uncharted thing. Like when you press the back button or whatever, it pulls out like a little fold-out map, and then like as you explore and
so it's auto-mapping.
Yeah, I don't think you're taking like, you know, a tablet and drawing it out or anything.
You're not gonna do that.
That could be cool.
Is there a boss fight at the end? Like, do I fight a dragon? What do I do?
How did they end their real journey?
They ate each other.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they got really bummed out with one another.
Did they get to the West Coast? Did they get to California?
I'm so sick of you, Lewis.
They opened a Fuddruckers like halfway down.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, let's just live here.
Stopped in St. Louis.
Let's just stop. They did the Louisiana Purchase.
No, they didn't.
No.
Yeah, that is not.
Was that Andrew Jackson?
That was part of their thing.
Was that Andrew Jackson?
That sounds more right than Lewis and Clark.
Doing the Louisiana,
like $14.
They went to explore, and then they went back to Lincoln, and he did the Louisiana
Purchase. It just
keeps going.
They don't know the value.
We should stop this conversation before we get a million corrections.
We're going to have a history quiz next week.
Yeah.
No, they went to St. Louis and the gateway to the West, and that's why there's the arch. Sacagawea was somewhere during this journey.
She
was their guide, right?
Well, that's what the history books tell us.
But that's actually 100% true.
There's one thing I have learned in my brief time in the New York office. It is listen to Alex, and we should stop talking.
Yes,
this before
it balloons.
We are digging a hole.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's gonna be fun.
But I actually don't think your idea for a game is that bad.
I was playing the shit out of that game.
Yeah. It's like a more mature Oregon Trail.
Yeah, but like a full scale United States.
Yes,
not like some shitty map like in the fucking Crew, like a real ass U.S.
Like foot to foot.
Yeah, and then because I would settle for something on the American Truck Simulator later.
Did it in. What if the only way to do it was there's a bunch of teams that are also heading out there at the same time?
What do you mean, like a bunch of Lewis and Clarks?
It's like the Amazing Race.
So it's like the Amazing Race, and the game runs in sessions of like, okay.
It's like a season. Like all right, Lewis and Clarks, you know, get at the mark and
totally.
Shoot a pistol in the air.
And you've got to like, not only do you need to get, you have to map the most territory, you know, you're rated on a bunch of different things. You can map the most in the least amount of time with the fewest casualties.
No, it's just the first person to get to the West Coast.
Nope, because what if you just eliminate the other team?
Yeah, you can kill the other teams. That sounds good.
Or Snipe.
Permadeath. Total permadeath.
I was thinking maybe put, like, honey down and, like, ants.
I was kind of hoping like maybe this would be a game that didn't have murder in it, but, you know.
I mean, there's going to be bears no matter what. Well, bears murder people.
No. That's nature. That's
still murder.
It's still murder. Yeah, but bears do it because that's just their nature. They kill things that threaten them.
If the laws of man applied to bears and a bear ate you and they put the bear in court, would he not be tried?
I don't think
would
bears...
Would he not be convicted of murder?
I don't think a bear could be tried in a U.S. court.
Are you convicted for eating a hamburger?
Well, no.
Okay.
But they're cows and we're people.
Like, if man laws applied to bears, if a cow killed a person, it wouldn't go to trial.
Yeah.
But what if man laws applied to cows? Then
if cow laws applied to man?
What if bear laws applied to cows?
What if cows ate human burgers?
That's fucked up.
What if a bear was
fucking Gary Larson shit here?
What if a bear was a cow?
Yes, what if a bear...
That's a good question. That is a good question.
That would be a very scary farm.
Yeah. Speaking of bear cows, No Man's Sky.
So No Man's Sky...
There's other stuff we have to talk about.
There is.
There's a lot we could talk about. We talked a lot last time.
Right, but like, there's stuff we didn't talk about last week that I think we should at least...
Yeah.
What you got?
And so I think there's actually a good jumping off point for this. We got an email this week.
We want to bring that email.
This email is coming out of the email section into this segment.
Okay.
I will allow it.
This email comes from Andrew in New York. Andrew says, over the past couple of years, and probably longer, there are numerous examples of games not releasing exactly as they've been described or shown during development. Good examples include the developer of No Man's Sky alluding to possible multiplayer functionality and The Witcher 3's and Dark Souls 2's graphics downgrades, however you define that. Should consumers hold developers or publishers to everything said pre-release is the better answer to this total transparency. How about pushing marketing much closer to release? Do you believe that it is on the consumer to temper their own expectations, or is the onus on the developer or the producer? Now, what a lot of this is coming from is a variety of things. One, there's been some threads going around of basically collections of what have been, statements made, things said by the developers at Hello Games about No Man's Sky over time. Systems and things that just never came to fruition in the final.
Details, little things like that.
Some misleading
in a video.
Yeah.
Some outright maybe false things.
And then there's also been some visual aids used comparing the original trailer of that game, the very first one that they showed at the VGX Awards versus and also that E3 trailer.
Right, and I had not watched that E3 2014 trailer
since.
Oh,
I haven't seen
seeing
it, since
it
either.
At the show.
It's pretty stark.
You need to watch it.
This is after the Video Game Awards one?
Yes, this is the first E3 trailer.
Okay.
The very first.
What do you have to say about that? Because that's what I really want to talk about.
So what I got to say about that is...
What do you have to say?
The differences are obvious. And
of course.
I think that, as much as we want to just be like, well, maybe they didn't say this, when you look at the visual that they presented in that first trailer versus what that game came out, obviously they are very different. There's been a lot of good discussion around that stuff, I will say. I feel like, a lot of people in development have kind of come out and said, like, look, stuff that, is planned pre-release, these kind of early teasers are sort of based on ideas of what the game can look like versus, what eventually becomes reality over the course of development.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas, people who wanted, were fans of this game and wanted very much to play it as it was originally presented are expressing fairly understandable disappointment at the fact that the final game did not live up to a lot of that.
So there's that. Then there's the immediate reaction of what happens after something like this comes out,
right?
Okay.
When you say this, the 2014,
the 2014,
unbelievable.
The E3 2014,
and apparently it wasn't believable.
Now, when you go on YouTube, when you go to Sony's official thing, it is called the gameplay trailer.
Yes.
Right. Which that's an implication right there, right? That this is what you will be playing in the game. And then you have the immediate reaction. A lot of outlets praise things like this. This is amazing.
Yes, it looks amazing.
Because it looks amazing. Because apparently this is what is going
most
to be
anticipated
in the
game.
It wins all these awards, right? Or maybe not winning awards, but definitely had some sort of accolade.
Look, there's a whole other separate conversation to have about the validity of E3 awards and things like that.
And we've
had
that conversation before. But you know what I'm getting at.
Yes.
This looks like a different game.
It's a different
game. I mean, this is like Killzone 2 levels.
This is beyond that.
I feel like
Killzone 2 almost hit that.
It almost kind of did, actually.
And I'm sure you've everyone listening has seen this trailer, and if you haven't,
go back and watch
remember it. It's like when that rhino animal starts galloping through the trees and it scares the other dinosaur-looking animals.
Like, you can see pieces of the final game in this, but, like, it's not this.
Yeah, I haven't seen this in 2 years, and this is amazing how different it looks.
Yeah. And that's in that you're going through that reaction you had 2 days
ago. Now, again, the reality is, of course, that obviously development challenges will happen. Things that are unexpected, problems arise, and, you know, things will disappear from those kinds of games. Now, the question that I think that we all kind of have to ask ourselves, and have been asking ourselves for a while, in the wake of things like this, the BioShock Infinite original E3 demo, stuff like that.
Best other example.
Is it actually to our benefit to see these kinds of early presentations of the game that aren't really what is, like, a playable game?
To whose benefit? No. Like, the press? Or
to anyone.
Here's the thing, right? I think there is too much of an under-discussed silent agreement that is, like, going on here, where it's like, we're showing you this, we maybe don't know if this is what we're gonna get, but you guys love it, and you guys think that this is going to be what the game is.
So I think that stuff, they walked it back, though, right? They used to say,
here's what we're targeting.
Or no, they used to do like, oh, this is gameplay footage instead of pre-rendered. And that was a big move.
Right. That was like a big hurdle.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. So I think, you know, look, and we're all guilty of doing this, but I think maybe the messaging has to be changed. I think we need to start using words like targeting or anticipating
concept,
or, you know, something like that.
And
because it is not doing anyone any good.
I mean, I think the challenge you will run into with that really isn't anything to do with audience reaction or even developer related. It has a lot to do with just the publishing and the promotion of the game.
I get it.
When you have a product that you're sinking a lot of capital into and you need to generate that level of interest, you need people to get eyeballs on this thing.
Totally.
You need people interested in it. Like, you know, granted, again, No Man's Sky was a 15-person team. The actual amount of capital that was sunk into that thing, even though over the course of 5 years, probably still wasn't what you would spend on, like, you know, a major Assassin's Creed game or something like that.
I got you.
But at the same time, you know, when that thing debuted, the interest kind of, you know, initially sort of came around, and then, you know, they showed it at E3, and, like, people lost their fucking minds. So, of course, people were like, you know, hey, you know, we got to promote the shit out of this thing. We got to get in front of as many people as we can, because they thought they had something there. They thought they needed to get people in front of it. The reality is, they couldn't do that game. And that, for whatever reason, it didn't come to be that game.
Right.
And, you know, I agree with you that I think that it would probably benefit everyone to not do these kinds of, like, you know, target video type things that aren't representative of what the final game is. But also, you need to have longer than 6 month promotional windows for these things.
100%.
And the nature of game development makes that very challenging to show you exactly what that game is more than like a year before it comes out.
So maybe someone comes up with a different way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like showing a shitload of art. I don't know. I get it. Like, of course.
But again,
like, here's what Larry drew. This is what the game's gonna look like. To me, it's just like, this is a very stupid game. Having these jaded sort of expectations.
And I would also emphasize that this is a little different than something like the Dark Souls 2 or the Witcher stuff, where it's like, the core of everything those games were was in the promotional items. It just didn't quite hit the exact visual target they were going for.
And I think that is a completely more reasonable sort of, you know, downgrade that I think people can understand.
Yes.
I know it's not realistic for several reasons, but, like, I really love surprise launches. I like not knowing something exists and then all of a sudden discovering it and realizing it's awesome. Like, we were talking before the show about Stranger Things.
Right.
I went from never hearing of that show at all to seeing everyone tweet about it to me watching the whole thing in, like, a week. And it's this nice surprise. And some games do that, like Grow Home.
Yeah.
You know, like, Grow Home just launched out of nowhere. And what a pleasant surprise that was.
Well,
like, oh, here's this cool thing that I didn't know existed.
The difference is that in games, much more so than any of those other mediums, is that when games tend to surprise launch, it's because someone didn't have confidence in that thing.
Right.
You know, like, sinking a bunch of money into promoting that
thing. And I have pre-orders and everything. It's such a huge thing.
They are,
campaign.
And that, you know, in its own way is fairly poisonous, but, like, you know.
It's on both sides of the fence is what, I mean, we can, you know, stomp our feet and demand this change, but it's really got to be
pretty misleading.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
super misleading.
Hey,
I think that's what we're saying.
I'm even as someone.
There's a lot of property on the other guy's side of the fence. I'm saying on my side, sitting in a E3 conference room or whatever, watching that thing, and somebody says this is actual gameplay, because that became the sword, the shield, right, of developers being like, this isn't pre-rendered. We all have this understanding. I'm not really playing this, but I'm going to hold a controller and play this, right? Like,
I've been in those demos, but I mean, I've been in as many where, you know, the demo they were playing was actually being played, but also the demo itself would have flown apart if anyone moved one inch to the left or whatever.
But you're getting up here saying this is a game, this is actual gameplay, because you're trying to defend yourself from saying this is pre-rendered and won't look like this. So that's like, basically now we have to shove that out the window and you need something else, some other language to say, this isn't actual game, this is what the game will look like, right? Like, when are people going to... They always want to sell the game at E3. They're not there to make caveats and be like...
I know, but like...
Be like, it probably won't look like this, but Bill thinks this looks rad.
Just like, when I see this video again, it starts to look more like a Kickstarter trailer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Where it's like,
here's what we're shooting for.
It's a target.
Yeah.
I think this is way more damning than any of the clips of Sean Murray floating around where he's being kind of dodgy about multiplayer stuff.
I think
this trailer that they officially released is way more damning than any of those things.
Yeah, so I think it's...
And then when you have a second, go watch the E3 2012 or 13 BioShock Infinite.
Right. Game. Oh,
just
right.
Watch that.
Right.
Watch that, and you'll smash your head against the
wall. I don't know. That game looks awesome, though.
I want this 2014's No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does everybody.
Can't wait for No Man's Sky Remastered.
I mean, I say it again, you know, even as someone that can appreciate what that game does and does enjoy still playing it, like, I think anyone who is upset about having seen this and, you know, hoping that it would actually hit something even close to that target, I understand why you're upset. I think it's valid. I think it's understandable. I think that, you know, there's a limit to that. I think that, you know, again, the second you start harassing a developer or threatening them or anything, like, you've officially gone off the fucking rails.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, expressing your displeasure with this is understandable. And if it's enough to say, hey, I don't want to play this game because it's not what I was sold on, I get it. Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
I mean, I've seen trailers for movies and gone to the theater and been like, this is not the movie that was sold to me in the trailer. This is a different movie.
Now,
different...
when you say that, though, what are you saying? You're not saying
I'm
that,
saying
like...
you picked all the best scenes in the trailer.
But not that they showed you stuff that wasn't in the movie.
Right.
Not that,
but they shot that, that is real, that is captured.
I mean, somebody made that build. I'm not saying it's right.
I want to see that build.
Did they make a build, or did they just make like a CG, like,
walkthrough? I think that build exists. And it was running on 800
Like, they had
titans.
One planet that could do that.
Yes.
What
do you think the reaction would be in 2016 social media internet if Metal Gear Solid 2, I know I bring it up a lot, happened now, where they literally fabricated parts of that trailer to make it look like you're playing a Solid Snake fighting the Harrier on the George Washington Bridge. Scenes that don't happen in the game,
I think,
just to pull the switch through. Yeah,
people would
be very cranky
about
that.
People
were upset in 2001, but I just imagine now
it would be such
a bigger shitstorm. Yes, it would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would. That's just straight up lying.
So what happens? Does anything change?
Yeah, I think Sony's next press conference, I think... This happened with Killzone, Dan said it before, and we moved into this is actual gameplay, this is not pre-rendered, this is whatever.
When was that Killzone? That was like
2008?
Yeah.
Wait, that was before that. That was way before that.
That was like 2005,
yeah, that was going
say.
Into PS3.
5, 6.
I think it was?
Yeah, that was like...
And that was around the time they were doing commercials for Call of Duty 3 that were super-duper pre-rendered and not indicative of the final game. And I think there might have been some kind of lawsuit or ruling about
there
this.
There was definitely... I don't remember if it was Call of Duty or not, but there was definitely a point where some game did not properly disclose that this footage they were showing was not.
I think it was Call of Duty 3.
Gameplay, and it was in an ad, and they got the FCC was like, nah.
Yeah. So that was probably 2004, 2005.
We had
when
Colonial
that
Marines happened.
That was a whole other thing.
it was similar. It was on the similar.
It was.
It was in the. It was in the state of that, all right? It was. Like,
I still think that one was worse.
It was misleading E3 stuff, right?
But let's, like, take a bigger step back and, like, look at what we're saying here by, you know, picking apart all these examples. So 2004, 2005, that Killzone trailer comes out. Everyone's like, oh, that's what PlayStation 3 games look like.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Or can look like, yeah.
Right, okay. We called bullshit, and 10 years later, it was the changing of, like, oh, like you just said, what's gameplay versus pre-render?
Yeah.
And now...
What you're seeing is... figure actual gameplay.
There seems like there was a way to figure it out where they could still, I don't want to say lie, but mislead by showing video that was completely...
broke that word.
There's a loophole. They just like found a way to sort of like sneak in stuff that was still dishonest.
I would say... I believe in my heart that at some point they believed that game could exist, that that was the game they were going to make. I think at some point reality just crashed into it. I think the real problem is that they did not get out there and say, look, these things that we were originally targeting, it can't happen. We just can't do them. They're not, at least not in the initial run. There's hopefully a lot we can do to build support for this platform down the road. But, you know, these are the realities of what development has brought us over the last, 3 years that we've been making this game.
Sure.
And that's where I think Hello has fucked up, is that they just haven't been good at messaging this stuff.
Right.
And Sony hasn't really helped them that much, because Sony seems like they just want to get that fucking thing out there, and they weren't really interested in, like, trying to... mitigate any of the possible anger that would come from the game not being that exact thing that was originally pitched.
And I will join your giving the benefit of the doubt and say in 2014, sure.
They probably believed it.
Someone was like, oh, all right, this can be done.
Yes. We need to bring back Next Gen Magazine and have everything be revealed with, yes, this is a real screenshot on the cover.
But that's kind of what they're saying at these press conferences, and I feel like they've worn out the word real gameplay.
It's a tool.
They can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to believe them anymore.
I created in engine.
This footage is in engine. Like, yeah.
This trailer has been created with the finest in-game engine.
I will also add, just, for the benefit of the doubt for the developer side of this, I will say that, if I was Sean Murray or anyone on that team, the last thing in the fucking world I would want to do at this point was, like, put out more messaging, because anything you say in regards to that game has been latched onto. And, there's been some good commentary saying, like, maybe one of the reasons you just don't talk about systems or things that aren't locked in these games is because they are automatically taken as promises the second they get out there. And, I understand the reluctance to get out there and, deal with more of that, because, the amount of vitriol you get associated with that is just psychologically damaging. I get it. That said, one good PR person that, is tuned into the studio and is able to sort of, like, address the stuff in a smart and meaningful way ahead of release
could have, I think,
stemmed some of the tide at the very least.
It was a thing that showed, and everybody said it looked too good to be true, but it looked real.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it comes from... It comes from a good place.
You can't blame them. That looks amazing.
They're just disappointed and they feel burned on it.
And I think disappointment, again, as much as I like various aspects of that game, I think that the disappointment for that game is completely warranted.
Now, let's talk about the reality and the future. Ladies and gentlemen who are playing No Man's Sky on the PC, here are some mods already available to you.
Okay.
Tired of having to hold down the damn button when you want to select something? Gone. Just click it. There's a mod out there that just lets you click on it.
Bother me that much, but okay.
Some stuff is like, come on, just let me click.
More than anything else, I just want to bulk upload for stuff I discover, but yes, okay.
So you're talking about when you select things waiting for the thing to counterclockwise?
Yeah, because if you land on a planet and find like 8 plants, you have to do it every single time.
Yeah, or I'm like, if I'm in the market, I'm like, I want to sell. I have to wait 4 seconds for this thing. Like, the
problem
with that,
but the problem for me is not necessarily the circle filling, and it's the fact that I have to do this for every individual item, period.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like, I have to upload it.
There's only one selection tool here.
Quick button to get rid of your HUD in case you want to take some beautiful pictures.
The fact that it doesn't have a built-in photo mode is kind of weird.
Surprising, yeah.
Disabling the audio warnings that are like, life support
coming. That would be great.
Life support system low when it's like, I'm at 90%.
It's like, it's every 25% that thing goes off. Yeah.
I'm good. It's taken an hour and a half for it to get here. I'm okay. Also, what's the penalty? I've got 6 bags full of thorium-9. Like, I'll be okay. Autofill it if you want. So there's one of that. You can kill some of the filters for the screen. I like how that game looks. I don't want to knock those off. I don't know what this is. Jeff, do you know what this is?
That's clearly wubba lubba dub dub.
What does that mean?
That's true.
Okay, so you can replace
Units received.
Yeah, you can replace that with Wubba Lubba Dubba.
Oh, it's Rick Sanchez.
I don't know what that
is.
I'm
from Rick and Morty.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, right on.
Wait, that's is Rick and Morty, like, Rick Sanchez?
Rick Sanchez is
Is of Rick and Morty?
Yes.
Like, in character?
That's, yes.
Okay.
It's probably just taking an audio file from that show and just it's supplying it. Yes. Yeah, okay.
Units received.
So, yeah, get done with that. Some things I would like to see, and also, obviously, there are just trainers that will get you.
Inventory full.
Oh, God. Just get me up.
Of course
fucking,
it is.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm meanest about in my review is that I cannot. The idea. Okay, the worst game design convention in current modern gaming is this system sucks until you upgrade it so that it sucks less. That is, and that includes your inventory. That includes your stamina. That includes your jetpack, your mining speed, all that. Like the fact that it is bad at the start is not where you should be starting. It should be okay at the very least to start, and then get. Great. That's how that should work.
That's why we have those, that's why games have that abilities, right? It's like, oh, let me start you with everything and show you how good life will
be. The Metroid thing.
Yes. Yeah. And then, like,
and then let's take it all away from you.
And then take it all away and be like, oh, but at least I know where I'm going
to
get. Right.
But also make it manageable to start, please.
Yeah. Yeah. That inventory is nightmarish.
Inventory management is not a fun game.
In those space stations, I want to turn my ship around, and I know this is a horrible thing, and kill the other pilots and steal their ship. That's how frustrated I am with my ship only being able to have 15 slots. Like, I will murder this space station and steal these ships because I need to hold gold and aluminum. I am not making this choice.
So Alex,
give me a goddamn phone that I can call somebody and be like, you want to buy this aluminum? Because there's no space station around here.
Maybe there's a trading post.
You're not wrong.
I want the trading post to be representative of the galactic trading also. Like, make it tied in.
So I'm surprised you haven't expressed any frustration with not sort of getting a clear picture of, like, the narrative of, like, what's kind of going on.
I made my peace with it. And I said,
now I'm trapped in this tunnel. I'm at the very front of the tunnel also, so, like, there's a lot of tunnel to get through. I wonder if a lot of the preview, like, you know, preview phase version of game not looking like final game stuff could be alleviated if they just showed games as they really were. There's always a reluctance, and, you know, I understand, like, the creative endeavor part of it, you know, sometimes people don't want to show a thing until it's ready. But there's always been a reluctance. It's why E3 is a trade show. It's why they don't bring every single broken build of a game to every single public event and stuff like that, because sometimes you get around people that are not used to seeing games in development, and they come away from it going like, man, that looks fucking terrible. It looks like shit. Like not understanding that, like, hey, this is how games are made, and by the end of it, it will look probably better than that. But, you know, honestly, like, I'd see way fewer completely fucked builds of games nowadays. Like, they don't send them out like they used to. You know, we used to get stuff that was just like, here's this thing's barely a game right now. Check it out. Cover it if you want to. But, you know, it's one level and it runs at 10 frames. You know, it's like this real fucked up optimized thing that you can barely even fuck with. You know, like, the quality of builds used to be a lot lower than it is now. Usually when if they're sending stuff out to us, you know, a lot of times even that's just like, here's the thing we're putting out as a demo, or here's the thing that's going to be our beta or whatever, like. Part of that is, you know, like, well, I mean, for us specifically, I think it's probably different. Like, I bet other outlets get more preview stuff than we do, at least slightly more. But, you know, with us being so video focused, you know, if they're going to send out a build like that, it's going to be like, you can't take footage. It's like, okay, well, we're not going to really do anything with this then, because we don't really write previews. So we'll cover it when we can take video. And by the time we can take video, that's a build that is much further along, and it's almost reviewable, and, you know, like they're, you know, they're in beta, they're in something. So, you do still get some real clunkers in early access and stuff like that that are getting sold and are just completely fucked. That does still happen, but... Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's hard to imagine the developers of No Man's Sky actually being intentionally deceptive as opposed to they're trying to make the best thing they can and... You know, maybe they got slightly Peter Molyneux-ish along the way about things they thought they could achieve, and then they had to rein all that back in at some point during development. And since they're a small team, I mean, you know, they probably don't even have time to write patch notes. They're too busy working on the games, because they, you know, it is still such a small crew. That... You know, they don't have time to focus on messaging. They're too busy doing the thing. And I get that. Like, it's, we run into similar things sometimes. The multiplayer thing, like, I just, my guess on that is that they have ideas about what they want a multiplayer experience to be like in that, and they just haven't hit it yet. And thought they would have more time before two players actually found each other. Blame Sony. Yeah, well, you know, like, all Sony did was publish the disc version of the game. But yes, I mean, you know, Sony definitely got that game a wider audience than it would have had otherwise. That's certainly part of it. I don't know what to think about the multiplayer stuff. Like, it's, I, you know, like, yeah, did they have some other plan for what that was supposed to be? They just hadn't quite gotten there yet. It's a weird situation. There's nothing else quite like that. You know, certainly trailers for games that have not looked like the final product, that has happened before. That will happen again. You know, that's the nature of how long the promotional cycle is for a game almost demands that you create something like that early in the process. Or, you know, bare minimum, you're running it in a best-case scenario sort of situation where you're taking your assets and you're like, okay, this game operates like this. This is what that game does, but we have not optimized so many parts of the game right now that in order to make this trailer, we are going to have to run it on something other than the hardware you will run it on so that it runs smoothly. Or we'll, you know, we'll pre-render out this gameplay thing so that it runs at a solid 60. And then, you know, but in reality, and I saw a game at E3 that was in this exact state, where, like, hey, here's this trailer, it looks real smooth, and then here's you playing the thing from the trailer, and we have not optimized it yet for this platform, so it's going to run weird. You know, like, that's fairly standard, but, you know, in a lot of cases, the games get there by the time they're released, so it's kind of not, you know, not really a thing. But that's, you know, like, you know, announce your game and start your pre-order campaign and fucking spin up the fucking marketing machine. You have to have that stuff. Because that's what people want. Before they will pre-order a game. And so the whole thing gets perpetuated. And I don't know how to actually fix that. Other than to not market games that far ahead of release. Or to be way more open about it. Which I don't think a lot of big companies want to do anyway. And it's something that's been coming up here and there. Is the idea of, like, you know, maybe if game development was treated more like film production and it was less of a fucking huge secret that a game was in development. Like, the idea that, like, a God of War sequel reboot thing was kept such a fucking huge secret and stuff. Like, those reveals are fun or whatever, but they could have just said, you know, hey, we're gonna reboot God of War. And we'll have more to say about that next year. Or in 2 years, you know, or something like, you know. Like, they could have just said that, and that would have been fine, too. Yeah, we don't have anything to show, or, you know, hey, here's an image from this. If anything, it almost seems like, well, I guess not. I was going to say, the things that Comic-Con has done to movie promotion for a while there, and it seems like that stuff is subsiding now that a lot of movie makers and stuff seem to not care about Comic-Con anymore. But that whole thing of, like, we're going to show this trailer and don't leak it. It's only here for you as a special treat. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, I don't know what the right way is to announce a big mainstream game, because the audience for those bigger mainstream things is going to be, like, slightly more casual in a way that they're not going to want to follow an open development of a game like that and see it looking broken. They won't readily understand that, hey, games look broken right up until about 6 weeks before ship, and then it starts to come together. Sometimes not even then. Like, the amount of time you would waste, like, trying to, like, calm people and go, like, no, I mean, this is how it always is. It'll start tightening up in a year and a half. You know, does that do more damage to your game than good? Like, probably. But that's the problem, right? When you shoot a movie, when you shoot a movie, you've got, you know, whatever the effects shots and all that other stuff that has to be laid in. Like, I guess it depends on the type of movie. This guy has Uber and Lyft stickers up in his car window, and it's really weird to me, the idea that you could be both drivers for both. They posted stuff about the Titanfall stuff. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what they have to say. The reactions seem to be very mixed. I mean, think about it, the negative feedback around the Titanfall 2 stuff is, like, some of that, well, it sounds like they'll make changes based on the feedback, but, you know, some of that stuff is kind of what I'm talking about in regards to people seeing games before release, you know, because there are some people that are just like, well, there's no way I'm buying that, it's exactly like just taking that at face value that that's the final game. And some people, you know, you've seen some people, and this is a small number, I'm sure, but seeing people go, wow, there really aren't a lot of weapons in this thing. Like, dude, it's not the full game. What are you... the fuck is wrong with you? But that's the thing, you can't expect everyone to be, like, fucking clued in to how this stuff actually happens, right? And I think a lot of things would be solved if people would just, like, not pre-order video games. You know, right now, so much of marketing is based around getting you to pre-order a game. And if everyone just kind of stepped up and said, no, we're not going to do that, then the industry would eventually be forced to find another way to sell their games to retailers, other than saying, our pre-order numbers are strong. And that's why they go so far out of their way to have pre-order bonuses and all this other shit. It's because it's way better for them than it is for you, if you like your art books and fucking soundtracks and whatever other shit they usually give you. Alley's blocked with construction trucks. Now I get to drive around. I fucking hate this. Some days, the alley being blocked makes me want to just turn around and go home. Like, I could just keep going straight here, and I could hit the Bay Bridge over to Oakland, and then bust it north and be home in, like, fucking 40 minutes. Probably less. So, yeah, didn't make it in today. Couldn't make it, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I think you could trace a lot of the stuff with a lot of the problems with games and the way they're marketed and shown and stuff. You could trace a lot of that back to driving pre-orders, you know, and those types of metrics. Obviously, if you're digital-only games, that's not the case. Not to say that every single game is affected by that, but yeah, that's another good one. The pre-order to get access to the beta, which is the thing you should be playing to decide if you want to pre-order or not. Like, consumers should make publishers do more for them prior to release. Like, hey, if you want to sell this game to me, really sell it to me on something substantial and meaningful, as opposed to just like, we gave demos to your favorite influencers, and because you like them, and they said it was, yeah, you know. Not to say that, like, word of mouth and, you know, that type of coverage is valueless, but if you held out for more, they would eventually have to listen and do something about that. Pre-order now and you can play the game on Friday instead of Tuesday. That's my favorite new one because the language around it is so fucking dumb, as opposed to the reality of our game is out on Friday, which is the actual fucking case. Pre-order now. It's like, oh, so if I pre-order on Saturday, I can play it that day too? I think, you know, but it is such a fan-driven culture and all that stuff that, you know, like, you know, hype is such a fucking part of it, and there's some people that just want that. And I think that leads to a lot of bad decisions. You are in the bike lane riding the wrong way down this street, lady. Like, it's easy to sit there and say, well, consumers clearly deserve better. But, like, you know, over time and time again, consumers as a whole just keep rewarding a lot of companies for a lot of pretty questionable practices, you know? There's no incentive for publishers to change their ways. It was nice to see the Deus Ex stuff change. Like, when that original pre-order campaign ended up just getting fucking scrapped because it was such a fucking shit show. Like, that was a good rare moment of like, yeah, okay, all right. Enough people fucking stood up and said, hey, this is fucking terrible. You guys are fucking terrible. That they actually did something about it. That didn't really change that much. All right, I gotta go. Have a grand day. And I'll see you later.